Middays with Mannix and Mannix on our finally Friday edition, and we're at the bottom of our second hour on Friday, which means it is time for our main high school sports weekend preview, and for that we are joined once again by Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. Michael, regular season is wrapped up, playoff time now, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you're right, it all comes to a rapid conclusion here. We're going to have two madcap weeks to the finish line, and then we're all done. And actually starting out with the first state championships being awarded tomorrow with the state track meets all over the state.
Yeah, looking forward to that here. And I feel like we need to lead off once again, because Taylor and I just had to open the hour a little bit of a lengthy discussion again about Addison DeRoche, the sophomore softball pitcher from Chevres, and everything that's happening for her, and another week in which she mows down some really good teams over this weekend to close the season strong there for the Chevres Stags, and they continue to be a big story on the softball diamond.
Me too, and you know, it hasn't been an easy year for Chevres or for Addison. I mean, everyone's gunning for them this year. You know, last year they were this nice, fun story kind of coming out of nowhere, this freshman phenom pitcher that no one really knew about until she took the mound, and then took everyone by storm. But you know, this year, you know, every time someone gets a walk or a hit off of her, it's as if they won the World Series. And you know, it's hard to stay focused. It's hard to get over that sometimes. And you know, she's shown incredible mental toughness, and the team has passed every test. And yesterday was a great example of that. Windham came in, played a terrific game, threw a pitcher that Lydia Martin that no one knew anything about, and she really kept Chevres off balance. She only gave up two runs, and none of them were earned. In her four-plus innings of work, kept the game close. And Kennedy Kimball just missed it, hitting another home run off DeRoche, drove in a run, and Chevres held on to win 2-1. But, you know, it just goes to show that, yes, they're getting pushed every time, but they're also pushing back, and they're finding ways to keep winning. And, you know, if we do get a third Chevres win the matchup in the regional final a week from Tuesday, it could be another epic game. And, you know, I think the casual fan is hoping that happens. But, you know, it seems like Gorham and Kennebunk might have other ideas. So it's going to be a fun Class A South tournament. And, you know, until we find out otherwise, Chevres is the team to beat. And I just can't see someone getting to DeRoche in a playoff game the way she's pitched her over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and especially, you know, this week between Kennebunk and Windham, who she's going to see. I had her for 26 strikeouts total in those two games, 13 and 13.
Not too shabby. Honestly.
I'm with you. And you just wonder, though, because I know Julia Pike, she pitched on Monday against that Chevres lineup. They played a pretty close game. Yep. She had 700 career strikeouts, too, which is awesome for her career.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I mean, where do they, those teams on the outside, because it does feel like Julia Pike and a Kennebunk could steal one if a team like Windham and Chevres are off their game for even one day.
Right, you know, I was talking to the Windham coach Darcy Gardner after the game yesterday, and, you know, she said it's really hard to beat that team three times. She's worried about playing Gorham in the semifinals. I'm sure Chevres has that same concern about potentially playing Kennebunk in the semifinals. You get a pitcher that's on that day, you have one bad inning, you make one error, your season's over. So, you know, the margin for error is very, very slim, and you're right. I mean, there are a couple other teams that you have to take very seriously. You know, Gorham gave Chevres probably their closest game of the year prior to yesterday, where they came in and battled for seven innings and lost 2-0. So, no question, Gorham is capable, Kennebunk is capable, but, you know, so far, Chevres and Windham have passed every test, with the exception of Windham losing the two games to Chevres. So, until we know otherwise, those are the two teams to beat, and I think the road to the title goes through them.
Yeah, certainly looking good so far there. I do want to kind of stick with softball and go to Class B, because just like Chevres finishing undefeated in A South, we have an undefeated team that finished the season in B South as well, in York at 16-0. Another good run certainly for them. Freeport and Greeley, of course, may look like they're setting up for a quarterfinal game.
Right. They are, and you know, those are a couple teams there that on a given day could beat anybody. I mean, Greeley had York earlier this week, and actually Greeley led that game 4-2 going to the fifth inning. And unfortunately, you have to play seven innings, and York put up nine runs in the fifth and rolled to victory. And they haven't lost a regular season game in 3 years, and they're certainly going to be really, really tough to dethrone here in the South. You know, for them, they just have to get over that hump and win the state title, which is easier said than done. You know, one interesting note about this Class B South field, only 12 teams qualify, which means that Yarmouth is left out. And Yarmouth twice beat Greeley handily this year. They're a team that I think could beat anyone on a given day, but they blew a 5-run lead late to Grain of Gloucester the other day in the regular season finale. And unfortunately for them, and it's a very painful loss because they, just by the matter of a couple of 100ths of heel points, are not going to go to the playoffs this year. And it's unfortunate because I think they could have done some damage. So it just goes to show you got to take care of business when you can. And it doesn't matter, you know, you have wins over certain teams. If you don't close out other games, it can be very costly.
Yeah, and moving over to the baseball diamond, I want to talk about those Scarborough Red Storm. They did suffer their first loss of the season to Marshwood this week, but there was also some pretty positive news for them as Eric Swenson was named the Gatorade Player of the Year. I know somewhere Nick Durba up at the University of Maine in Orono was smiling very ear to ear when he saw that that man was named Gatorade Player of the Year. Also, Jeff and I talked about, should mention, he also landed the Vermont Gatorade Player of the Year, so pretty cool to see the Vermont and Maine Gatorade Player of the Year heading to Maine, but Eric Swenson, no surprise that he was given that award here with the way he's pitched this season.
No, he's been phenomenal, although he did have a little dose of mortality on Monday where he lost just for the second time in his high school career. Marshwood came in and beat Scarborough 2-0. Gus Alexander spun the gem into the Red Storm's 25-game win streak, and it also cost Scarborough the one seed as Marshwood leapsfrogs into that spot. You know, that doesn't mean a whole lot other than, you know, if Marshwood and Scarborough play again, it'll be in the regional final over at St. Joe's, and it would mean Scarborough would be batting in the top of an inning instead of the bottom of an inning. And, you know, if those two teams do meet again, it would continue a recent theme where they've played in the playoffs the last several seasons and played some great games. But there are a lot of teams here, guys, that could make some noise. And, you know, you look at a potential Thornton Academy, Gorham, quarterfinal round game. They just played a classic game a couple weeks ago. You know, Biddeford has had a great season. Quietly has done really, really well. The team I've talked about for a couple weeks now, I know we've mentioned this the last week or two on the show, is I wouldn't want to have to play Falmouth. They've won 9 games in a row. They're coached by Mike D'Andrea. They can hit the ball. They don't make mistakes. They're aggressive on the base paths. They're playing with so much confidence. They really had a rough stretch in the middle of the season, but since then they've been unbeatable, and that's a team that I would not want to match up with, I'll tell you that. And another team is South Portland that also had a little bit of a rough stretch a week or two ago, but finished very strong with a win over TA. They took Scarborough to extra innings in the finale. Even Sanford in that 8th spot, I mean, that's a team you cannot overlook. So I expect we're going to see some great quarterfinal round games in this A-South tournament. Wouldn't be surprised to see some upsets. And, you know, it's possible that it'll be top-heavy at the end, but wouldn't be shocked if someone else just snuck their way through.
Yeah, and you and I caught each other Monday at that Falmouth game, and you've been telling us all year, and I think I said to you there, I was like, you weren't kidding about this group, and I believe it was Polchi who had the two triples and a double. The kid looked like he belonged on the Portland Sea Dogs the way he was hitting the ball at Hadlock Field. But I think I would love to talk a little bit more about this Falmouth team, because you're right, so well coached. There's something I talked about on the broadcast I did with D'Andrea, who, thanks to you kind of were telling us about these teams that he used to coach for Deering, 22 win seasons, 24 win seasons. So coach in the dugout, really good head on his shoulders, and it looks like this team is peaking at the right time, because in your newsletter, Michael, I noticed that they're on a 9-game winning streak heading into the playoffs.
Right, and you talk about Coach D'Andrea going back to Hadlock Field, where he had so much success with Deering over the years. I think that was a fun trip back. And, you know, whenever visiting teams come in there, they generally throw their top pitcher. You know, their hitters are up for the challenge. I was excited to see could Jacoby Porter or Tyler Simmons, you know, hit the wall or hit one out, because they have that kind of power. And instead it was Josh Polchies, as you mentioned, Taylor, that had a great game with somebody who has 9 total bases, I think, and drove in several runs, a couple nice triples. This is a team that can just beat you in many different ways. They don't have the number one ace like they've had in years past, but, you know, Milo Mattson's given them some great time on the mound, and then Simmons comes in. He'll pitch 3-4 innings in relief if he has to. And Falmouth will just find ways to stay in games, make other teams make mistakes, get the key hit when needed. And, you know, like I've said before, I would not want to have to face them in my bracket. But there's several other teams that you can make that case for, too. You know, Gorham in the 6th spot with Wyatt Netto possibly pitching 3 games in the tournament. You know, no one would want to have to face him in a win-or-go-home game, too. So just some great players, some great pitchers in this league, and I think you're going to see that be borne out here in the next couple weeks in the tournament.
And in Class B baseball, I know you were at Cape Elizabeth earlier this week when they pretty much locked up the B South number one seed with a win over York. Tell me how that played out, and now that Cape does go in as the number one seed, how you think B South kind of looks going into the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about teams on a roll, Jeff. That's 10 in a row for Cape down the regular season. They had a three-game skid earlier this year. They haven't lost since. They actually are going to hold off Greeley, and they'll be the one seed. And, you know, I feel like those two teams are on a collision course for the regional final. I know York will have other ideas, Madomic Valley. You know, even a team like Freiburg in the eighth spot is very dangerous. But, you know, the way Cape and Greeley are playing, and they've been excellent all season long. You know, both teams get solid pitching. Both teams have good hitting, some clutch hitting, and they're generally pretty clean in the field. And it's a simple recipe for success in high school baseball and softball. And, you know, both those teams have it. They split in the regular season. If we get a rubber match in the regional final, there's no love lost between these teams and these coaching staffs. So it would be a lot of fun to see that game over at USM on the 17th. And, you know, it's been a long time, actually, for both teams. It's been over a decade now since Greeley's won a championship, which is hard to believe. And 2004, believe it or not, the last time the Capers won one. So maybe that drought ends for one of those teams this year. And if it does, they'll probably have to go through the other to get there.
Yeah, and looking at boys lacrosse, I know we'll talk a lot about Falmouth with their ridiculous win streak right now at 26 over the past 2 years and 14 games running this year. But I want to start with someone who is, again, on HoffersHighSchoolSports.com, the newsletter for you guys who want to check that out, and please subscribe. I'm subscribed, and I love it, so 10 out of 10 recommend anyone listening to get on that. Andy Marvin, though, was someone you posted about to my alma mater, those Portland Bulldogs. He had his 200th career point for the Dogs and a big win over Cheverus. Can you tell us a little bit about Andy? And maybe not the best season for the Bulldogs, but clearly for an individual there getting a huge milestone mark at 200 career points.
Yeah, and I think it came on an 8-goal game for him yesterday. And actually, Portland's had a really good season. They're 10-4. They're going to go in as a 6 seed, but you're right. You know, Falmouth takes up all the oxygen in Class A for good reason. You know, this is one of the great teams of all time. It might be the best team ever if they roll through the playoffs the way they roll through the regular season. I haven't added up the numbers lately, but I think they've easily eclipsed 200 goals scored this year. And, I mean, they really have not been tested at all this season, and there's a good chance they won't be in the tournament. You know, Cape Elizabeth is really playing well as we go into the tournament, as you'd expect. They don't have the record that you're used to, but a big overtime win over Yarmouth the other night. You know, they're a team that I know Falmouth will take very seriously. Thornton Academy's had a really, really good year, too. I think maybe they're the one team that could test Falmouth. They kept it close for a quarter, most of a half the other day down in Saco before Falmouth pulled away. So, but, you know, you've got teams like Wyndham and Portland who've really quietly put together nice seasons, and you're right. I mean, they deserve some kudos as well. But, yeah, the story has been Falmouth and boys lacrosse this season, and I don't really see anything changing here in the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely, and you mentioned Yarmouth boys lacrosse, yeah. Of course. They lost at York to close right. out the regular season in a battle of the top two in Class B.
Right, you know, Yarmouth really struggled down the stretch. They had that tough loss at Falmouth, which, you know, didn't come as a big surprise. They actually played pretty well, but, you know, to go down to York and lose, and then to lose that overtime game at Cape, I think that was kind of an eye-opener. But despite all of it, Yarmouth still winds up in the one spot. They're exactly where they want to be. You know, sometimes a little adversity late in the season is not the worst thing. It gets some big heads smaller, if you will. It gets teams refocused. I think you're going to see Yarmouth put together a nice run here. And, you know, like I say in Class A, I'd be shocked if Falmouth doesn't win. In Class B, I'd be shocked if it's not Yarmouth and York standing at the very end. And let's not forget, they put together one of the great all-time state games a year ago where Yarmouth tied it with 2 seconds left and then won it in overtime. And, you know, if we get a game half as good as that one, it'll be a thriller. But, you know, those two teams are looking great. I know York's hungry to avenge last year's loss, and that could be a potentially great game. And, you know, Class C, NYA's really put together a great year that no one's really talked about, and they've played teams from all three classes. They had a very close loss the other day to York. They played South Portland, a Class A team, very tough. They beat Greeley in overtime to end the regular season, and, you know, here they are in the number two spot. I feel like they're positioned to make a run and maybe win a title for the first time in several years.
Yeah, and on the girls' side, it's pretty impressive as Wyndham has had an incredible season. I know as a team they're trying to reach some historic milestones, but for individuals on that team, in particular one junior, it was a 200th career goal, which I'll let you do the honors, is something that they've never seen before up there in Wyndham.
Yeah, and the thing that makes that was most impressive about Abby Trainor doing that is she's only a junior.
Yeah.
I mean, she might be making a run at 300 before it's all is said and done. And, you know, she came into that game the other night against Gorham, needing two goals to reach 200 for her career. You know, she didn't stretch out the drama. She got them quickly and then scored several more. And that Wyndham team is so impressive, guys. They lost to Kennebunk in the opener. Now they've won 13 in a row. And they're positioned to go somewhere where they've never gone before, and that's the state final. And I wouldn't be surprised if they win it the way they're playing right now. Kennebunk's been fantastic last year. They got a real scare last night down in Saco against Thornton Academy, who unfortunately is playing right now without their best player. Oceana Lamar is hurt and is probably going to be out for the playoffs. And, you know, Kennebunk took a 6-0 lead. I thought we were going to have a running clock in the second half. I think everyone on hand thought that, except for maybe the TA players and coaches. And they actually battled back, got within a goal there in the second half before Kennebunk held on 14-11. Helen Kenny had 9 goals in that game. Camden Sheenan with 8 assists. So, you know, Kennebunk's ready to make another title run after falling short. But, boy, Wyndham looks good. And Marshwood has had a really nice year. Stavros has had a nice year. You look at Falmouth 6 and Yarmouth 7. Those are the teams in the state game last year. So no one's going to overlook them. Thornton Academy in that 8th spot, it's very possible they'll get another look at Kennebunk in the quarterfinals next weekend. So there's some great teams at the top, but also some really dangerous teams down below. And it's been a really good year for Class A lacrosse, and you know I expect that drama to continue here during the playoffs.
Yeah, girls Class B, of course, landed with a couple teams finishing 14-0 with both the Freeport Falcons and Mount Ararat Eagles. Are those the two teams in that in that class that you think are probably almost on a collision course for a state championship?
I would say so because of the way the heel points worked out. I think the way Freeport's going to have to go through Greeley in the semifinals if the teams advance. And let's not forget, Greeley knocked off Freeport in a thrilling state game last year by 1 goal. Greeley really gives Freeport fits. The Falcons only beat them by 1 goal during the regular season. You know, that was their closest game and moved to their first ever undefeated year. So that would make for a great state final, but it's not going to happen. That would be a semifinal. You know, Mount Ararat's had a great season as well. They really had a nice season last year, too. They gave Greeley a close game in the semis. So they're a team that's ready to take that last step. Yeah, it's very possible we could get a battle of unbeaten teams in a state game. We don't get that very often. It'd be terrific if it did. But the way Freeport's playing, the way their senior stars, Mia Levesque and Lena DeRusso, are playing, it's going to be really tough to beat them, especially since they're still playing with some fire after falling short last year.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, too, obviously you wrote about some of these new faces and new places around the Southern Maine. We have a new head basketball coach at Deering and a couple new faces as well on the sidelines at Yarmouth and at Thornton Academy. Can you maybe tell us about some of these coaches in the fall and in the winter that some fans will be seeing on the sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of announcements over the last week or so. You know, summer ball is not far off at all, so I think all these schools want these coaches in place. You know, the big name is probably Rich Henry moving from Waynesley to Deering to replace Todd Wing with that program, and I know he's excited for the opportunity to coach at a big school. He's going to be replaced at Waynesley by Andrew Leach, who was the girls coach there, and Lynn Gerard, who was his assistant, is going to take over the Waynesley assistant spot there. Connor Hassan, you know the last name Hassan with basketball coaches. Very well known in the state. Lynn Hassan was a longtime girls coach at South Portland. She coached at NYA last year. Her daughter Abby was a Portland girls coach for a few years. And Connor's father, Chris, was a coach at Scarborough back in the turn of the century. So he gets his opportunity to run a program at Yarmouth, taking over a program that's always in the mix. And then on the soccer side, you're right, you got George Sherry, who was the girls coach at TA. He'll be taking over the boys team. So we've got a little bit of time before we're going to be talking about soccer and basketball on the regular, but it's never far out of sight, out of mind, and it'd be exciting to have some new people in new places this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rich Henry. I might not be a Deering alumni, but boy, am I excited to see someone like him come in and have the opportunity to get Deering back to where they were. I know that there's a lot of people in Portland who are rooting for him, including my guy Walter Phillips, if he's listening. I know he's very excited about some of the new faces potentially there at Deering. I thought for sure he'd be the guy to do it, but Rich Henry is the man for the job, and I'm sure he's going to do great. I can't wait to see what he'll do. I'm excited for Deering, shockingly, as a Portland guy.
Yeah, that is shocking, but I know you've branched out here with your city schools in recent weeks.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, there's always movement. There's always new opportunities and some new faces getting opportunities. And that was fun to write about. But just as a quick reminder to everybody, just, you know, so, there were so many game stories. I also did a feature on the Scarborough pitching staff. And the story on all the new coaches at Hoffer High School Sports. And, you know, I'm proudly partnered with Seaport Credit Union now. I want to give them a shout out. And a lot of great content at the site. I hope people come and check it out. And I can't wait to start writing about the postseason starting Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And should note, too, before we go, state track meets, as we mentioned at the top, Class A state meet is in Brewer this year, Class B state meet at Freeport High School, Class C state meet at Mezalonski in Oakland, all on Saturday. And then we have some regional tennis finals, team tennis finals this weekend here as well, ahead of state championships next week. Michael Hoffer with our main high school sports weekend preview. Thanks for sharing a few minutes with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, always good to talk to you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. We'll put the finishing touches on hour two on a finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix next.